Wendy Shaw family, what's going on? Listen, it's been a long time since all three of us been on the camera. My goodness. I had to step back for a minute. I had to look back. I said, wait a minute. Are we all here? Sheesh. Now, welcome to the Wendy Shaw podcast. Herbie J, John, we got Hundo, we got Colin. Thank y'all for locking in with us this morning. Fellas, how y'all doing? Let me get into the content.
I'm doing good, bro. I can't complain. same old, you know. Yeah.
I'm doing good, man. It's an exciting summer. Been hot,
man. Nah, facts. It's been OD hot. I ain't gonna hold you. It's the kind of hot, like, I hope y'all get right with Jesus. I really do. Because if this heat don't make you want to get right with the Lord, yeah. Meet us in the comments. I'm gonna have a special prayer for you. I guarantee it. Oh my goodness. I'm glad to hear y'all boys are doing well, man. It is hot in the summertime. But a lot is happening out here in the sports world, so we got to continue on with the content. Pray for y'all got air conditioning in y'all crib right now, and it's blasting. And if it's not, God bless you.
Good luck.
No, for real. First, I want to do this startup by doing this, man.
If you listen to this and sweating, man, you deserve a special shout out.
Hey, they watching the pod in the sauna.
A legit sauna. Oh my gosh, bro, it's been excruciating hot. Like, please stay hydrated. Get some water, please.
Turn off the pot. Go get some water.
Please, and drink plenty of it. Plenty of it. One bottle's not gonna cut it. You're really gonna need a gallon, no cap. But not for real. Listen, I did want to start the podcast by doing this. We recently hit 100 subscribers on YouTube. And actually, I checked it this morning. We had 121 subscribers on YouTube. And that was one of our major milestones we wanted to start off with on the podcast. We talked about this in our production meetings earlier on. So, man, to see that we hit that goal, bro, it felt so good to see that people are subscribing to the pod, listening to the pod, commenting and sharing it and helping us draw in other subscribers. It helps us to know, it helps me to know personally. I let these fellas speak for themselves. They're on the right track, man. I see that we continue to draw in inspiration from the people. I see the people continuing to comment on our videos. I see people sharing on Instagram and TikTok and on YouTube commenting. Bro, it makes me feel like we're doing the right thing. It really does. Like, when I'm debating people in the comments, I'm like, wow, people actually like, you know, giving their opinion on what I gave my opinion on. That jump feels good to me. I'm like, dang, my opinion might be valid on something. You feel me? So I wanted to give a special thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast, subscribes to the podcast, and is a faithful, loyal Winning Shot patron. We appreciate y'all listening to us. We appreciate y'all reading the articles that the guys are writing. We don't take it lightly. We truly don't. So I'm going to let the guys kind of give their own little thing, man. But I just want to come on here and say I thank y'all personally because I see it. And it just makes my heart melt, man.
Yeah, man. Special shout out to y'all. Thank you for subscribing. Like, we don't take it for granted for sure. Because, you know, the work we put in the background, just to seeing somebody's reading it, even if it's one person, man, it's just a blessing to know that people care about what we're doing. So definitely continue to subscribe. And even the 120 subscribers we have now, man, we promise to keep doing work in the background and make sure y'all have up-to-date content with real analysis, man. So appreciate and shout out to y'all.
Nah, for real. Just following up what they said, same thing. Shout out to y'all supporting us, following us on this journey, sharing y'all takes, interacting with us in the comments, like John said. And similar, like John's point too, like having 121, like these not just our friends, like these people who we don't even know. So that's what I like to see. Fact. Just keep it up, man. We just gotta keep going.
It's a blessing. So in the spirit of doing that and keeping going, and where's the Hundo Clark? We're gonna get straight into the content. Listen, the NBA draft just concluded, fellas. There was a lot of guys who got drafted. As we know, it's what, 59 total selections between the first two rounds, or the only two rounds of the NBA draft. And so a lot of young men had their dreams come true. But let's take a deeper dive into that, because I was reading some comments on like Twitter, and they were saying like this draft, or the draft in general, the NBA is becoming a rich man's sport. And they said that because a lot of the guys who were getting drafted, they just weren't like happy about being drafted this year. Like, it was kind of like, thanks. Like, I knew it was going to happen. versus, like, you know, in earlier years or past years, like, guys have had, like, stories of inspiration of, like, I've had to, you know, grind for my whole life. My parents didn't have this, so I didn't necessarily have these tools to make it to the league, right? A lot of these kids today, like, they've come from good backgrounds and, like, they had all they need their entire life, so this was kind of just another step for them. When y'all watched the draft, did y'all get that sense of, like, entitlement to a lot of these kids? I felt like when I was watching some of the kids, it was kind of like, I don't want to go to this team. I'm not going to do this. And then, like, I always have had a disdain for kids who are like, oh, I'm not going here. I'm not going to do this. And it's like, you've never been a professional athlete. You've never had anyone choose you to pay you this kind of money. And you, like, have the nerve and the gall to, like, tell people where you will and will not go. I personally have a disdain with that. But I'm gonna let y'all give y'all's perspective of what y'all saw in this draft, and we'll kind of go do a little deep dive from there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, John. I think, like, that's kind of the difference between what I saw with, like, the NFL draft and the NBA draft. Like, I remember watching, like, probably five years ago, man. Like, every first round pick, like, 1 through 10 was like crying in tears, no matter where they went, because it was just like a blessing to get drafted.
Yes.
And I think this is like the impact that we're seeing with the NIL, because uh-huh. people are making money, and it's like, you know, everybody's used to like that life changing money before they get into the NBA or NFL draft. I mean, you That's look true. At like Shador, went to the 5th round, but he comes from money and he had a lot of money that he earned at Colorado. So him moving in the 1st round wasn't really like a big deal, because financially it wasn't going to really impact them as much. And I think for these NBA players, there's a sense of entitlement. And I think you have to understand just the percentage of people that actually make it to the league and actually stay in the league. Because you look at, like, Anthony Bennett, right? Anthony Bennett was the number one pick, but now nobody is really talking about him. He's playing, like, overseas. And I think we're losing that sense of, like, gratitude when it comes to, like, making it in any professional setting. And it scares me, because it's like, man, when you are burning bridges, especially, like, and we'll talk about later with the Ace Bailey situation, you just never know where you're going to end up, because just because you get selected to a team doesn't mean you're going to stay there. And you're going to GMs move, players move, coaches move, and if you burn those bridges now, it can affect you long term.
Yeah, I'm with you, Colin. Especially that last part with the burning bridges. I know that was something that you had mentioned the other day when me and you were on the pod, but, like, that's something that a lot of kids, especially, you know, 18, 19, are not thinking about. They're thinking about in the moment. They're not thinking about, you know, 5-10 years down the road, maybe I'm not on the same team, and these same owners, these same GMs are in the same positions on other teams, and you don't want to ruin those relationships. And to your point with the NIL, like, yeah, like, that's a big part of it. Like, these kids are making hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions in college before they even get to the league. So it's like, yo, a lot of people aren't even entering the draft and being one and done. So we got to look at that part of it too. And then, as you mentioned with, like, Ace Bailey, like, we'll get in that later, but just, like, we're in a different generation now. Like, LeBron, Kobe, all that, like, that's the past. Like, these kids now, 2025, bro, these kids don't be caring, bro. They don't be caring, bro. But it is some of them that still do. We heard Vijay Edge come talking about how he grew up, you know, not having electricity. So definitely it's a few that's still grateful, excited for the opportunity. But like you said, it's always those exceptions.
Yeah, and that's a good point that Colin made with the NIL. I didn't even take it from that perspective, pretty much. But still, here's my thing, bro. Like, even if with that standpoint of I've made millions in college, that, for me personally, shouldn't change the fact that, I mean, you weren't going to stay in college forever. You don't have the kind of eligibility, right? So, like, the fact that an NBA team wants to bring you into their ranks and pay you to be a professional athlete, for me, should change. Like, I don't care if you made $5 million while you was in college. To me personally. Now, once again, you look at a person who's never made $5 million in college. So, I mean, I can maybe see their perspective and saying, well, I haven't. But let's be real. The NBA contract that you're going to get is a lot more than $5 million as a first-round pick, more than likely. Am I right or am I wrong? You probably get more than a $5 million dollar signing bonus. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my thing is this. Money aside, because I get that that's a big piece, but your dream, more than likely, has come true of going to the NBA. So, like, for me, I'm like, I don't personally get that we should subscribe to, like, 2020. Oh, it's 2025. Kids should just not have to be happy. Nah, bro. Like, this is a lot of people's dream in life. To make to be a professional athlete, to have this level of clout, to have this level of status, to have this to like be something that they've dreamed of playing a child's game on a professional level, meeting a lot of your people who you've looked up to or play AAU ball with, seeing LeBron since you're a little kid on TV, now you get to play with him either as a peer or as an opponent. Like you've had the opportunity now, and you're not taking it. Like to me, it's just like, I'm gonna skip this workout. I don't want to go to this team. Like, for me, it's too much. It's too much entitlement, personally. I can't get with it. I really can't. I really have like a strong hatred. It's a hatred. I'm not even going. It's past disdain because I'm like, how dare you? Like, it's one thing. So I go back to this. Deion, when he was coming out, right? He was telling teams, "Hey, I'm not gonna work out for y'all because I'm not gonna be there at that point in the draft." It wasn't saying, "Oh, I'm not gonna like I don't respect you as a team." He just knew his talent and the way his draft was looking. He's gonna be gone in the first five picks. Cool. It's one thing to say that versus you saying, oh, I just don't want to play for y'all. That's crazy to me.
Hey, to me. I will say though, John, like, and this is not the case for everybody, but like some organizations are bad organizations, bro. Like we have to be real.
Is the check going cash?
Huh?
Is the check going cash?
Yeah, but still, bro. Like we saw with the NFL, bro. Like certain players don't want to go certain places, bro. As we know, yeah. Like when we look at franchises, bro, we know that some franchises are better ran than others.
Indeed. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
So
that's true.
So if a sorry team with a bad organization and bad leadership is trying to take me and I don't want to go there and I don't feel like that's the best opportunity for me to thrive as a player, I'm fine with people speaking out and saying they don't want to go to X, Y, and Z place.
And I think that's the difference between the NBA and the NFL, though, because, you know, the NBA is running that lottery system. The NFL, the worst team is what had the first pick. So, like, it's like, okay, if you want to be the first pick, what are you going to do? Sit out a year? Like, I'm confused. Like, with versus the NBA lottery with the Dallas Mavericks, who came in with a built roster and had the opportunity to go get Cooper Flagg with the first pick, it's like, okay, you have more choice in the matter, right? So I get that piece of it. But my thing is this. Okay, cool. The Cleveland Browns had a first overall pick. You may not want to go to Cleveland, but you're going to be first overall pick and you're going to the NFL. Mm-hmm. You're making millions of dollars. Coming from, even if you make $5 million as a college athlete, the college NILs do not touch these NFL contracts as a rookie.
I hear you, but like it might not be about the money for them, is my point. Like the money, cool. Like, yeah, the money's different, but like it's about fit. It's about where you can go and where you can succeed. Yes, the money is more, but where can I go and be my best self?
How do I know you're going to succeed? You never played against pros. You've only played in college against guys who may be an accountant tomorrow. I'm asking you to come in game one and play against LeBron. Like, you telling me, oh, I don't have the right fit to do that? Like, I'm confused. Talk to me.
I mean, you can look at the roster and see past drafts, past examples, previous examples, of how first-round picks were treated in said organization. It don't matter if I played it down or not. If I don't think that your organization is good enough to be ran to where I can succeed, I have the right to voice that opinion and say I don't want to go there.
I think, like, the bigger
issue. Answer this. Would you rather go to the Mavericks or the Wizards?
I mean, obviously the Mavericks.
Okay.
I think it's yes. You want to go to the best organization. If that was the case, everybody would try to hit up.
No, I'm not necessarily even saying like the best organization from like a success standpoint, but like you look at the way the Wizards are ran, bro. Like the Wizards are a bad organization, bro.
Mm-hmm. Somebody got to go there.
It won't be me.
I mean, I think the bigger issue though is like, both in the NFL and the NBA, the problem is if you get drafted to a team, they essentially have you for like at least 5 to 6 years. because with the NBA, you have the bird rights. So you can leave, but you'll be losing out on a lot of money. And with the NFL, obviously, you have
got the 4 year plus the player option for the fifth.
But you can franchise tag, especially if you're a quarterback or if you're a good player.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like there has to be changes on that end. But I feel like it's a deeper problem than the NIL, John. Like, I think the transfer portal is a big deal, too, because essentially every year you could transfer and pick the team you want. And from Ace Bailey's standpoint, ever since the beginning, like, he didn't even stay at the same high school. So he's always been going to the places that he wants, essentially. And mm-hmm. I feel like that kind of culture is kind of like, you know, I know you and I were talking about this AAU culture where people are getting to put their teams together, and it's more so to feed into the players' preferences more than actually just grinding out where you are and just being the best wherever you're planted. Like, I think that's kind of lost on just our entire generation, this next generation. And I feel like that's kind of feeding into the NBA, because you got to think, he went to Rutgers. Rutgers was terrible, but he was catered to his entire time there. And people were telling him that he was going to be a top two pick. And once you get into the NBA draft, you're like, okay, do I want to go phased out in Utah, or do I just want to go somewhere that I want that's close to home and I would have more likelihood of stardom and success? Because the teams that he wanted to go to, they weren't necessarily good teams. Like, Washington was on that list. So I think it was past winning and money. I feel like it was a lot just preference and comfortability. And you know, who was representing him too, which was terrible. But, you know, we'll get into that later.
Nah, that's yeah. real. But like I said, like, it's about fit. It's about – clearly, it wasn't about the money for him. It was about where he could go, get his shots up, and thrive. Like you said, he probably would have ended up in Philly.
Yeah.
He probably would have ended up in Philly. But what does that mean? Embiid, Maxey, PG, Jared McCain. So it's like, I could go to Utah and I could ball out. Because who they got? Jordan Clarkson? Walker Kessler?
Laurie.
So you think it's more about like trying to be a face of the franchise as a rookie versus like trying to be a part of a team? Because like with that aforementioned, it's like, okay, you mentioned the, you know, the system or the scheme or the team, but like in Ace Bailey's situation, and we're switching over to that here, it's like, okay, you got Washington on that list. So Hunter just say, like, they're a terrible organization. So it's like, okay, do I just want to go somewhere where I can just have my way? Or do I want to go somewhere where with Philly, I could potentially like be a winner? You know what I'm saying? And maybe not like early, but like with Embiid, and they still got, who else they got down there?
Maxey
and them. So like, okay, I want to be a part of something that I can build and like actually be a winner. Like, mm-hmm. what is the, you know, what's the consensus here? Like, I think that's my whole thing behind it. Like, do you want to win, or do you just want to be a guy? Like,
well I think for Ace, it's about having the ability to like play and shine and star. I mean, you go back to Colin's point. He went to Rutgers.
Right, and they suck.
Exactly. So like, he probably could have went to Kentucky. He probably could have went to Arkansas.
Was he a star?
Went to any of them blue blood schools?
Was he a star at Rutgers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did he do anything to help them win? Like, that's for me being a star. It's like, it's more than you having 20-20. You have 20-20 and go, you know, 10-25. You, to me, you made no impact. You suck.
John, that's not how that worked, brother. Because they had two top five picks on that team.
I saw this. But okay, cool. I get, as an individual, yes, you're good. But like, that's what I'm saying. Are you coming in just to continue to do that same thing and be sorry? Like, is that your whole goal?
Hey, some people want to get their stats and get their numbers.
Yeah,
it might not be about winning for him right now.
Because I mean, like, yeah, to Hundo's point, like, you got to think, John, if he would go to North Carolina, he wouldn't have been able to like fully realize his potential. Scouts wouldn't have been able to see, you know, all he's capable of doing. Rutgers, he had a lot of control. Like, when you go to those bigger schools with bigger name coaches, like, they're going to force you to play in a role and you flourish in that role. I think he wanted full control, being able to bring the ball up, being able to take any shot on court that he wants to, so that he could show scouts what the fullness of his game was. And I feel like a lot of that was kind of Dylan Harper's standpoint too. And I think that's why they went 17-16, because they had a coach who pandered to their players and didn't actually run any offense. And I think that's one of the problems with this entitlement generation. It's like, they're going where they want to, but they're not actually thriving because they're not central to us. Like, they don't know what they are in the NBA because they don't have a certain role.
So So just to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, it's not about winning. It's just about individual success.
Yeah.
Now that money, I think in Ace Bailey's standpoint, yes.
Yeah.
Interesting concept. And that we're losing recipes. If that's the case,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, we agree.
me and Colin talk about this all the time, bro. Like, are you trying to win? Like, teams need to be out here trying to win, bro. So do players.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Say less. That's interesting. That's an interesting theory, bro. Like, boys, I mean, don't win no more.
It's kind of like similar. It's kind of similar to Travis's situation. Like, obviously, Travis is a much better prospect, but he was only going places where he could play both sides of the ball. He goes to a bigger Power 5 school. Nick Saban probably is not letting him do that. And I think a lot of players want that control because they think that that's going to be beneficial going to the next level to show the fullness of what they can do. But, like, I mean, you look at some of these corners that are coming out and some of these just players, like, you benefit from having good coaches and being in good programs because it forces you to stay disciplined. That's my biggest concern with Ace Bailey. It's like when you get into the NBA, you're going to be forced to do something well. Because if you can't do something well, then you're not going to be in the league a long time. Like, you can go and drop 29 and 28 in Utah, but at the end of the day, like, if you're going to play winning basketball, you're going to have to flourish in a role.
And I think that's my standpoint. It's like, okay, cool. Like, if you want to come in and be an individual, I hear it. But, like, you went in. You can come in and we talked about this with the WNBA Hundo the other day, right? We talked about, you know, Paige's team is what, 3-14 right now, but like she's leading for rookie of the year. It's like, okay, how long, like, does that matter versus you being a winner? Like, because at the end of the day, eventually you're going to have to switch and become a Jewel Lloyd and go to a system that's going to, like, are you going to be able to fit, right? Like, and so going back to Ace, it's like, okay, cool. You're going to come in. Let's say you just go ahead and drop, let's just say 20-7, 20-8 as a rookie, right? You average that. Okay, cool. But Washington sucks. Oh, he's in Utah right now. So Utah is not going to have the best record. So it's like, okay, do you want that to be your career? Or do you ever plan on going to a team to where you can be a winner? And based upon his current track record, the answer is no. He went to Rutgers.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but
as a grown man, I'll say this too, like, it's not gonna let you just do what you want. Like, it's not how the NBA's run. That's not how sports organizations at a professional level are just ran. They just unless you have proven once again that you can get it done, like a LeBron James, a Steph Curry, like KD, these guys who've earned that rank and earned that stain, you don't just get the keys to the kingdom as a rookie and just say, oh, go do what you want. That's not how that works. So it's like, at some point you have to lock in and learn how to be under somebody's control, and not necessarily control, but under somebody's coaching and tutelage, and like be a part of the system and learn how to play that way versus you playing, oh, I don't want to go there because they're not going to let me do what I want to do. You're a grown man.
I will say, people have made careers off of like the opposite mindset that we have of like doing what they want to do, playing for who they want to play for, and being on sorry teams. Like, we've literally seen a number of people chase money over an opportunity to win a championship and go to better teams.
Indeed. Yes. Yes, we have. But those players also have had to fit into, like, systems at the same time. Like, at some point in their career, Hundo. Like, you can't just be like,
And they ain't win.
That's true. That's what I'm saying.
And you got to pan out. You got to walk.
Exactly.
Hey, now what, like you said, Colin, what would be crazy is if he come in the league and be a bust. Now, that's going to be hilarious. Don't be a bust, Ace Bailey. You did all of this.
Yeah.
You better be like that. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I tell you what. It's going to be very interesting to see. Y'all boys follow the NBA more than I do. But I definitely want to pay attention to that young man to see how that pans out for him in Utah. With that, like I said, there's just a lot of guys that came out this year to see, like, okay, what can these new teams do? Like, how do y'all think Cooper Flagg is going to turn out in Dallas with him going to Dallas and teaming up with AD and Kyrie just signed or get ready to sign with them again? So, I mean, they have a solid at least three players, right, in there, and they have going to be able to bring in people through free agency or whatever the case may be. How do y'all think that his integration into Dallas will be as a rookie?
I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of like how he plays alongside AD. He's versatile, can score from all three levels. But he played more like a four position at Duke. AD is going to be the four in Dallas with Derek Lively or Gafford at the five, and then Cooper Flagg probably at the three. So it's going to be interesting to see how he guards threes on the perimeter specifically. But shoot, he in a good situation, bro. Like we talked about earlier, like Dallas is not sorry. When healthy, they're a championship contending team. So hopefully they can get Kyrie back sooner rather than later. And we can actually see what this team is going to look like in full form.
Yeah, I agree with Hondo. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Kidd does, like who he actually runs the offense through. Because like at Duke, he did everything, even at Montverde, like the offense was run through him. But, you know, as a rookie, do you continue to run the offense through AD and just open up shooters? Like, does he have to play off of somebody, or are you going to just give him the keys, right? And then it's going to be interesting, does Kyrie come back if they're a contender this year? What does that look like? Or do you just sit him out the whole year? You still got Jaden Hardy. Trying to think who else is on their bench. Probably go pick up another backup point guard. But, yeah, I think, can he play off of people if it's going through AD? Or can he be that guy if they hand him the rock, you know, 29 shots a game, like something like that?
And Kyrie just signed an extension too. So, yeah, that's going to be that's gonna be big moving forward. Got him locked up. AD looked like he want to be there. So, we gonna see.
Yeah. And I think Cooper is like different because like even just seeing him this year, he wants to win. Like it's not all about his stats. So I just want the media and fans to just be honest with his career. Like even if he gets like 12-5 and they're winning, that's better than him just getting 29 points and then being like a lottery team. So I feel like if he can just have a steady incline with his career, that's better than him just coming out looking like a LeBron, because I just don't think that's feasible anymore to ask that kind of expectation in this league today.
I will add to that too, Colin, though. Like, I hope he does continue to incline because he could get stuck in that role where he is at, you know, 12, you know, 14, 15 point per game score, and now everybody looking at him like a role player.
Yeah.
So hopefully he does, you know, continue to get better and, well, not necessarily get better, but like, get more opportunities to shine, really, because that's what it is, truly, to have that offense ran through him.
Yeah, I agree. How'd you feel about I think on the pod we were talking about Dylan Harper at too. Like, we kind of both knew that. But I guess everybody was kind of shocked about three with VJ. How'd you feel about that pick, and what do you see the fit?
I feel like they had to draft somebody. unless they were going to trade the pick and move down like you suggested on the pod. But, I mean, similar to Ace Bailey, I mean, he's in a good situation going to Philly. If Ace Bailey would have been going to Philly, he would have been in a good situation. If healthy, it looks like they're going to keep this team together. But we going to see. I guess Philly, you know, rocking with these guys and going to run it back again. So hopefully they're healthy. As we said before, the East is wide open. So if they're able to be healthy, Embiid is a big factor in that, they got a chance to, you know, compete in the East. I think he's going to be a role player. I don't see him getting, you know, 30, 35-plus minutes per game to start out. I could definitely see him coming off the bench and being a solid role player. Unfortunately, that's the number three pick.
I mean, I just feel like the fit didn't work because you have a plethora of guards. And I feel like he's going to get stuck in like this Kuminga Benedict kind of role where it's like, man, this dude is averaging, like he's getting 20 off the bench, but we're not putting him in any meaningful situations. And like we said last time, you got Jared McCain, you got Tyrese Maxey, you got PG, you got MB. Like, there's only so many shots that can go up, and VJ is a dynamic scorer. I think they got him purely off of his athleticism, but do you just bolster that second unit by bringing him just to run the second unit, or do you infuse him into the starting position? Because I guess what they're saying is, like, one of the five starters are going to get hurt at some point this year.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure we have somebody to insert.
And that's key. I mean, you got to think about that, especially with this team. Yeah. But like Jared McCain was shining when he was playing last year before he went down with an injury. So yeah. like you said, he's definitely probably gonna be coming off the bench. I would assume Jared McCain would take back, you know, the starting shooting guard position. Now, if not, I mean, they might be competing for minutes, those two. But I don't see PG coming off the bench. Maxey definitely not coming off the bench.
Right.
I mean, are you risking it and putting PG at the four and letting him start? Like, I doubt that.
You know, I got a crazy conspiracy because even with Morey back in at the Rockets, you know what he wants to do. Like, he wants to prove that that small ball works. And, yeah. John, I know how you feel about Embiid, but it's like, if Embiid gets hurt again this year, like, I definitely can see them trying to run all guards and having, like, PG at the four. Like, that year they had Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, Daniel House, like,
yeah.
And they were winning. He wants to prove it works. Yeah.
I tell you what.
It's 2025, Aaron.
If I see Embiid at the four, let me tell you something right now. It's not a good – that's not good. What? Too big for that. You're 7'1". Get under the block.
So, John, if he gets hurt again this year, Embiid, do you move off of him? Like, where are we at with the Embiid legacy, Embiid project?
Yeah, bro, I mean, buddy got to stay healthy. And if he don't stay healthy – yeah, it's time to go. I mean, the product, what do you call itself?
Process.
Yeah, the process product. Who that's the product's Kamai, right?
Kiyomi McMillan.
Yeah, she sucked too. Anyway, that's on another podcast. I'm sorry, y'all. My bad. The process has ended. We've seen the end result of this process. It is not good. It's not good. I mean, go somewhere else, bro. Go somewhere else. I mean, you can come to Boston if you want to. We just got rid of Kristaps. So, I mean, I think it's like this, bro. You're 7'1". Your knees ain't good, clearly. So it's like, and clearly you can't do it by yourself. That's clear, you know? And it's been the same thing in Philly every single year. Like, it just hasn't worked out. So, I mean, if it don't work out this year, and there's a lot of teams in a lot of leagues are saying that. If it don't work out this year, it's time to cut ties. I think we got to move into that too. At what point do we look at these players and say, hey, enough is enough? Like, we can't just keep spending money. We can't. We can't just keep paying you. And in Embiid's situation particularly, he played, what, 14 games last year out of 82 before we were at the season-ending injury? And he hasn't played a full season. Has he ever played a full season in his career? Like, what do we, you know, I mean, yeah, he won MVP. I get it, right? But, like, the same way I get in my head about Lamar, the same way I get in my head about, you know, other players, and, like, at what point do we, like, put, okay, hey, you haven't been able to get it done. We're not going to keep putting money into this. It's really drawing us nothing back in return, you know? And Philly, as a city, as a proud city, they just won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to keep going for losing like this. It's but y'all saw New York fired their coach after going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, some cities just have that kind of, like, pride and, like, we got to win. And if we're not going to win, it's time to cut ties, no matter who it is or what it is. Like, we've seen it done in plenty of organizations, and it's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter who you are. We're going to get rid of you. So I think if Embiid comes out this year and gets injured, It's bye-bye Embiid. And it's unfortunate.
Hey, PG too.
Now, he's a whole different story. PG's just been a journeyman at this point. And, I mean, he's gone from team to team, and it's kind of just like, what's your legacy?
Yeah.
You know? We got to start having legacy conversations. Like, how are you going to be remembered when you hang it up? And I was having this conversation the other day. A lot of our guys, we watched growing up, all right, end of their careers, right? And I think PG falls back. PG got to be 30-something plus at this point, right?
Yeah.
He up there.
So, I mean, we know LeBron's at the end of his career. Steph Curry at the end of his career. KD got to be getting close to the end. He maybe got 2 years, maybe 3 years maximum left in the tank. You know, like we're getting to the end of these, getting to the end of this line for a lot of these guys. And the question is, okay, what legacy are you leaving behind? PG, what? I mean, a lot of times, in my personal opinion, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong with this, if he does not get on a winning roster and soon, his legacy gets forgotten. It's like, okay, we remember PG, but we remember him just like being there, like, and not really being like impactful. And I could be, once again, y'all let me know if I'm wrong, but I feel like when I watch PG hoop and the times I've seen PG in the playoffs, it's like, okay, yeah, you made a name for yourself and you fell off. And then you started trying to like go get help at other places, and like it never really panned out for you.
Hmm. Yeah, I think from a success standpoint and like a winning standpoint, you're right. But like from like a basketball standpoint and like even like the younger generation, like a lot of their favorite players is PG.
Oh, for sure.
Like I heard Kion talking a while back, Melo's son.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Yeah, PG is my GOAT." So it's like, bruh, like a lot of these players, they look up to people like a Paul George. Because his versatility, his ability to score, his ability to defend.
Yeah.
Like from a basketball standpoint, like, regardless of the injuries, but like, yeah, from a legacy standpoint, from a success standpoint,
yeah.
I mean, he's not a winner.
Yeah. history remembers the winners, Hundo. Like all the time. Can I tell the story to M Day and have your name in it? And a lot of times, those stories include winners.
PG in it. Because people will talk about like PG and the Pacers more than they'll talk about this team with Halliburton and Pascal.
I think that got overshadowed this year, brother.
You said what?
I think that got overshadowed this year.
Low key, because. They never went to any finals with PG.
They had this man Roy Hibbert on SportsCenter the other day, trying to keep the legacy alive, brother. Go back to doing whatever you was doing, because nobody knew you and Roy Hibbert during the season.
I said, wait a minute, Roy Hibbert. I heard his name in a long time.
they're trying to keep that junk relevant. No,
nah, facts.
This is the Tyrese Halliburton era.
I don't think the team, but like. Bro, we still remember that dunk he did on Birdman. Like that, when he went toe to toe with Bron in that Eastern Conference.
Okay. But listen, when we're telling the history of the NBA, are you even bringing that up?
No.
he dunked on Birdman? Get out of here. Man,
like you're not. PG is going to be in the history, bro. We're going to talk about PG. We're not going to be talking about PG with the Thunder. Man, we're not going to be talking about PG with the Clippers.
Hey, John, he about to have a sentence.
Hey, what are you gonna have a footnote?
Right. Like, come on, bro. You're not about to be a chapter in the story.
And don't get me wrong, PG. Please, if you're watching this, I'm not disrespecting you. I think that you are a great hooper, bro. But I'm thinking about legacy. And I'm like, yes, people are gonna remember PG for the next decade at bare minimum, right? Especially those who watch the game, right? People are gonna actually remember your name and what you did. But it's also like, okay, you went to several different teams and like the outcome was always the same. It's like you were just a guy. Like people don't look at PG in Philly right now and say he's the man. I don't think that's not his legacy anymore. Like when he was in Indy, PG was the man. Like it was like, okay, this is the PG show. After he left Indy, it was kind of like he's just one of the guys. And that's for me, right? That's for me. I'm like, damn, like, that sucks for him. Because like, if you're not remembered as the guy, you're gonna remember it as a guy. And like, a lot of people don't remember a guy versus the guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and it kind of hurt him leaving the Clippers, and the Clippers actually look better. Exactly. Yeah, and then what happened with him getting hurt with the 76ers, that was a mess. Because the thing about Philly, the Philly fan base, they will get rid of you soon. Like, they will. And he's just on the wrong side of history, bro.
When we're talking about players' legacies, right? And to two players that we've been talking about, Colin, Devin Booker and Trae Young. I want to bring it back here. So we talk about legacy, right?
Okay.
These are two individuals who have stayed on, you know, one team throughout their career so far.
Yeah.
When is it time to go?
And that's the thing, Hundo. We just mentioned this with Embiid, but like some guys, they just want to keep being average. Like they really had no desire, because once you built up like that fan base in the city, right? You built up that like Book is being like the guy in Phoenix since pretty much he got there, right? And like people still look at him as the guy in Phoenix. Like when you think of Phoenix, you're thinking Book, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with Trey. You think Atlanta, you're thinking Trey. Like, and it's like, am I afraid to leave this? Because okay, that's a good example. Damian Lillard. He went to the Bucks. And it's like, that's Giannis's team. Like, you're just, once again, you're just a guy. Like, you still Damian Lillard. Don't get me wrong. But like, people don't look at the Bucks and say, oh my God, like Damian Lillard's the guy. Like, nobody says that.
Do you think it's like an ego thing?
Yeah, I definitely plays a part into it. For me personally, at one point, Book would say he was never gonna leave Portland. Dame was saying at one point he was never gonna leave Portland. Mm-hmm. And why was that, Hundo? Because I can, and this kind of comes full back circle to Ace Bailey. I'm getting to the point now I can do whatever I want to do. And you bring the people to like to help me versus me going to help somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my city. I kind of run everything. I got say so, I got pull. I'm the franchise essentially. Like, I'm not winning, no. But Dame time, like everybody know Dame time, like that's we people are looking forward to that kind of stuff. And like now he went to the Bucks and did what this year?
Yeah. I'm gonna add to what John said. Like, it's not, the grass is not always greener. Cause he can look on his team and say, man, a couple years ago we were like, man, free Brad Beal. Brad Beal, Hall of Famer. Brad Beal is a great player, top 75 today in this league. Like, but he moved to Phoenix and was okay at best. And now he's like trying to salvage his career, maybe go to Detroit. I don't know who else wants him, but the Phoenix literally wants to get rid of Brad Beal. And I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying if Devin Booker leaves, and like John said, it's a Dame situation with the Bucks, he might have to alter his play style and game. And that's not always feasible for some people. And then, like we were talking about Trae Young, like Trae Young is used to being ball dominant. If he has to go to another team in this second apron where the team is not that good, because gone are the days where we have like LeBron, D-Ways, and Chris Bosh, because people are not going to be willing to go into that second apron and pay that luxury tax. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're just going to keep collecting checks and just go out the best son of all time, like I think that's solid. Some people just don't want the rings and chase the rings. And that's okay.
That's okay. And the thing with Phoenix for me is this, like,
that's not okay, bro. I can't let that slide. That's not okay, bro. You got to try to win, bro.
I mean, it sounds good. But your whole life. Hold on. Your GOAT did the same thing, Hundo, entire career.
Hey, brother.
He was not trying to win.
Yeah, he did. Hey.
When did he try to? Hold on. Let me put his name out there first. Let me put his name out there first. Let me go ahead and have a conversation about it. Carmelo Anthony did not try to win any championships in his career. He had opportunities and decided to do what? Get paid.
Chase the money.
Exactly. Hey. So it's like some people just want their name in the lights, bro.
Thank you, John.
You tried to.
That's it was too late, though.
Some people just want to put their name in the lights, bro.
Like the Heat wanted him, but he could have taken a pay cut. He wanted the money in New York. That's a perfect example. Like, no.
Yeah, bro. Some people just. They just want to see the name in the light, bro.
Hey, at least he got some gold medals.
Hey, yo,
Devin Booker doesn't have a gold medal.
I think
he got to have one at least. Yeah, I know he went on the last. Wait, he went. Now, D-Book went on the last Olympic team. I think he was on one before that last one.
I think it was like 2020. I want to say.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, bro. Some people's career is just going to be just that, bro. And that's but see, here's the thing that keeps him in the legacy conversation. People gonna remember Melo. Because he stayed in New York. It's a fact. Like, he ran New York for the time that he was there. And, you know, that's what he did. You know what I'm saying? So it keeps some of that legacy conversation. Do people remember him as a winner? No. The only championship he won was at Syracuse.
Hey, he's one of the most successful Olympic players. one of the most decorated Olympic players in U.S. basketball history.
Man, if the Phoenix Suns,
Hall of Famer,
if the Phoenix Suns offer a hundo $60 million a year, that ink won't be able to dry before he reaches another line. Like, come on!
I want to go to OKC. I want to win.
Congrats, 1 year 15.
Like, right. Yeah. So I mean, we gotta have that legacy conversation, bro, with some of these players. It's like, okay, how will you be remembered? And like, unfortunately, you get phased out if you leave. Unfortunately, for some of these guys, you know what I'm saying? And like, that's just like, okay, do you get into that conversation? But you also have to get to that point. To my point with Ace Bailey, you haven't proven that you can get to that point. You haven't proven anything in the NBA. So it's like, if you come in making these demands, like to say, I might be able to do this. You ain't even winning in college. At least D. Book went to Kentucky and was winning at Kentucky where he went to Phoenix. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come in with no stain in your name and still want to make demands when you were sorry in college? And sorry, not sorry in the individual standpoint, but sorry as a unit. You even showed that you can play me as a unit. And you get to the league, what's the chances you go? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That's my whole thing with that piece of it.
We just got to wait and see, man. We just got to wait and see. Hopefully he ain't no bust, but the man can score.
A lot of guys came into the league to score, Hundo. Let's keep it a stack.
Hey, but everybody ain't go to the Jazz. The Jazz is one of the worst teams in the West, if not the worst team in the West, I believe. Like, they suck. like one of his representatives said, he's going to have a great opportunity to play. He's going to get a lot of minutes.
I mean, that's facts. So you got to prove it early and often.
He will be on the court. DJ Edgecombe, he might not be on the court.
That's all right. That's a fact. That's right.
Like Donovan Mitchell. Like, Donovan Mitchell didn't do a lot of complaining when he went to Utah. He just killed, went to the playoffs, and then he left. That's okay.
And still doing it. And he's one of those, and he's a good example. Kyle, that's a good example. See, I'm glad you bring these examples. He's a good example of a guy, left where he was, being that guy, and went to Cleveland, which I think is a lateral movement, but in the sense of like, he can still be that guy and go kill. And Cleveland got a lot better with him there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
But let's go to 704. Like, I want to talk about this. Like, what do you think about it? I was going to bring that up. So I have my thoughts about Khan and Charlotte. Like, I think they're trying to change the culture, and Khan's going to help do that. Because
I hope so. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because they could have had – they currently have a crash-out culture. But I think Khan provides a lot of stability because, like, even looking at that Duke team, Cooper Flagg did everything, but I think the grounding player, the person that made the organization go, was Khan Kanepo. Because – I think Khan was at the right place at the right time, knocking down shots. And I like Khan. His ability to play defense and his ability to stay on the court because he just does the little things well. And I think they need more players like that. And I think they got Kalkbrenner from Creighton in the second round. I like the pick, but how do y'all feel like it's going to work with that roster?
I just want to correct you on one thing. I think Sion James was that guy instead of Khan. As far as steadiness and running the show.
Well, he in Charlotte too. So God bless America. Yeah, they both in Charlotte.
He's in Charlotte too. But
I don't know.
I like the pick. I think Khan showed his ability to play make, which a lot of people were sleeping on. He's a great shooter, as we know. And he should help the team. I mean, I guess we got to see if LaMelo's going to be healthy. I think that's going to be a big part of it and how this team is going to look. Brandon Miller has been pretty good when he's been on the court. Miles Bridges has been pretty good when he's been on the court. They traded Mark Williams, so
thank God.
Gotta find some inside presence. Yeah, I think Khan is steady, but we just gotta wait and see, man. I would hate to be a player going to Charlotte. Like, what's the direction of the team?
We're trying to get something there. Bro. I said we're trying to find it right now, bro. Like. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up,
and I don't want to be a part of finding out.
That's my thing. Like, it sound good. It really does. But hey, like,
he could have pulled an Ace Bailey and said, "I don't want to go to Charlotte."
Ace was asking to go to the Wizards. And what's their direction? You just told me they suck. So like, I don't want to hear that. Yeah. Like, I ain't trying to hear that at all.
But listen. Khan is not that type of player to be like, yo, I want to go get my stats.
But you're Khan right. could flourish anywhere.
That's what I'm like, saying.
What'd you say, Colin?
Khan could have flourished anywhere because he doesn't have to be the number one option. Like, he can flourish as the number two and number three option and just be in the right place at the right time. That's what I'm saying. I think that Duke showed.
He can. I just don't want to be in Charlotte. Like I said, like what's the direction?
I think they're trying
to. Who are you playing through?
I think he.
I mean, obviously still Mello.
But still a Mello, bro. What do you mean?
I think it's looking at trading LaMelo and running it through Brandon Miller, but I think right now it's LaMelo. If I need to knock down the three. And people are targeting LaMelo and Brandon Miller. I trust Khan Kanepo to knock down the three. That's what I'm saying. Like every Duke game I've watched, like Khan has been the one that's been knocking down the right shot at the right time. Like he's just gonna stay in the league for 15 years just because he's able to do the little things.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was a good pickup for Charlotte, man. I was happy to see it. I was like, ugh, they're gonna try to get Ace, and I was like, please don't go get Ace because all the stuff I've been hearing about Ace. So when they picked up Khan, I was like, okay. I like the pick. I like the pick because, like Colin just mentioned, but it's not down shooter. We need that for sure in the city. To Hundo's point, we gotta establish a team. Like, I think the team has just been super young for a long time, and that's because vets have not been coming to Charlotte. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of vets have been leaving Charlotte, but nobody's really been staying in Charlotte. So I think we need some veteran presence, honestly, in the city for real. And I am a Celtics fan, but I live in Charlotte. The Hornets are the only Charlotte team I support. Because we got to have something, hopefully, one day to look forward to. So I'm like, okay, how do we build a team? Help us build a team. Like, also, we still need a big, like Colin just mentioned a minute ago, they trade away Mark Williams, so they're going to need a big. They drafted a 7-1 kid from Creighton, but, I mean, he's a rookie. So, I mean, I don't have no expectations right now. So, I mean, we got to get some direction, and somebody's kids gonna listen to. Like, I mean, it's really young with a lot of money. That's where they are right now, and so we got to like get some, like something, some stability, some glue, something to hold these guys together. That's what's gonna help them start winning the games eventually. Like right now, everybody kind of just playing their own kind of thing. But like, how do we become cohesive as a unit? And I think when you bring in, you know, somebody like a Khan who comes from a blue blood system and who has some experience kind of working like that, I think that helps a lot. Because I think the past two couple picks we've had in the first round with Brandon, these guys have kind of just come from teams where kind of like, just do your own thing, do whatever you want to do. And that just does not, that goes back to my point, it just does not work in the NBA. You can't just go and do what you want to do. It's not how the league works. Like, you have to play as a team to win. That's the only way you win championships, as a team. So if that's the goal, we got to bring players that's going to fit that kind of mold and contract and culture.
I agree.
So prayerfully, make it work. Make something work in the city. Obviously, that move does not win a championship in Charlotte, obviously. But it can help put them on the right path to at least be a couple more games won, prayerfully. let's take baby steps versus the giant steps. You feel me? Yeah.
All right, so... Are we touching on Ace Bailey? I feel like he's dominated the show like with number five. Or do you want to go straight to Trey Johnson in Washington at six?
I think I've talked about Ace Bailey enough. I don't want to talk about the young man no more till Summer League get here.
Yeah. Okay. So the Trey Johnson pick. Trey Johnson's the elite scorer. Like, Every game I saw him at Texas, man, he was able to knock down big time shots and control offense. I think they did him a good job with them going to get CJ McCollum and vets to help him with his journey, because I think for him and Sar, they need some veteran leadership in order to, you know, be competitive in games, but also teach him the ropes of, you know, knowing when and how to score. Because I feel like you can score from anywhere on the court, but I think the problem with Trey is like, he would surrender running the offense for the sake of getting points. And I think that was his biggest weakness. But I think CJ, you know, being with Dame, he's able to show him when to take over versus when to run the offense. And the same thing with Chris Middleton. But how'd your boys feel about that pick?
Yeah, me personally, bro, I didn't really watch Trey Johnson too much in Texas, so I honestly can't give y'all too much of an opinion. I'm going to let Hundo go ahead and give what he got to say.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned him during the tournament when the tournament was starting, but like I hadn't seen him too much. But do you think he's going to be like a starter with the Wizards? What do you think his role is going to be?
Absolutely, they're going to start him. They're probably going to go kind of like with Portland, like they're going to get him at the one, McCollum at the two, and then you're going to have probably Middleton at three. I don't know who you run at the four, but I think it's going to be between him or Carrington. I don't know if they're going to try to stay with Carrington at the one or if they're going to go just Trey Johnson. But I feel like picking him this high, they have faith in his ability to score, and I don't see him coming off the bench. So
you see him as a point guard. He's more of a point guard than a shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to compete with Carrington for minutes, but I think they're going to go with Trey Johnson, honestly, for the sake of scoring and excitement. That's the thing with Texas is, like, they were losing a lot of games, but he was exciting to watch, kind of how I talked about later on with Jeremiah Fears, but it's like they want that kind of energy in Washington. And it's going to be interesting to see how he operates with Sarr, because I can see a lot of pick-and-pop, pick-and-roll scenarios, but the problem is, will Trey run the offense? Because there's been a couple of games I watched with Texas where it was like Trey was like waving off people because he wanted to score, go one-on-one, and that kind of stuff don't work in the NBA.
When I'm hearing this, he sounds more like a shooting guard, bro. Like, I don't hear nothing about his like playmaking ability. Like, I'm just hearing like scoring. So it's like, why not you do it? CJ at the one, which we've seen him doing in New Orleans more. But like you said, they got Bub Carrington as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was a rookie last year. I was on what? I
think it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah. So that's gonna be interesting dynamic. Once again, what's the direction of the Wizards?
Right. That's the question.
You got all these old players. You brought in CJ. You got Chris Middleton. You got Marcus Smart. But then you got Sarr. You got Bub. You got Trey Johnson now. So it's like, who are we playing through, and what's the direction of this team? Because they've been sorry for years.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see them running a Carrington Johnson backcourt yet. I feel like CJ is not coming off the bench. CJ can still put up 20. I just don't know how it's going to look. Is it going to be Sarr? I mean, is it going to be McCollum and Johnson, or is it going to be McCollum or Carrington? I don't know. So, yeah. But, yeah, let's keep going. Jeremiah Fears. Actually, I want to touch on New Orleans just as a whole, because New Orleans had the 7 pick, and they traded back up to go get Derrick Queen at 13. And I think Jeremiah Fears is a good player. I think, you know, if y'all go read the Substack article, there was some glaring things that I saw. But I think he does have the ability to score. Now it's going to be interesting to see him and Jordan Poole operate on the same court. Who gets those shots? Like Hundo said, I don't know the direction they're trying to go in, but it's going to be exciting. I just think it's going to be exciting and a bunch of losses. So
that's crazy.
I think, yeah, there's going to be some times where we see a lot of highlights with Jordan Poole, Jeremiah Fears, and even with Derrick Queen, but it's like, what does that amount to? Like, I don't think there's any clear direction of what they're trying to do. Are they trying to be a high-powered offense, or are they trying to go with Derrick Queen, Zion, and just run a great half-court offense? I don't know. What do you think?
I think they definitely going to be getting in shootouts with teams. I don't see them being no great defensive team. Jordan Poole's not no, you know, lockdown defender. From what I saw from Jeremiah Fears, I'm not too afraid of him on the defensive end. We know Derrick Queen's limitations on the defensive end. But I was interested to see where Derrick Queen was going to land. I'm surprised that New Orleans moved up to go get him. But we're going to see. We're going to see, man. I mean, I think Derrick Queen's a good offensive player. He definitely got to work on his three-point shot. But, yeah, we're going to see. Like I said with that trade, when they made that trade for Jordan Poole, it's like Like, what are y'all doing, bro? Like, what's the direction of the team?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem, and I texted y'all in the group, but like the biggest problem with the Derek Queen trade was that it's not only their pick for 2026, but they made it unprotected. So they get the best out of either the Pelicans pick or the Bucks. So whoever's sorrier, they get the better pick. And the thing, we don't know if Giannis is going to stay this season or if he's going to get traded. But you have to understand, it's like, okay, in my head, Joe Dumars, do I think that Derek Queen is going to be better than AJ? Is he going to be better than Darren Peterson? Or is he going to be better than Boozer? Because I think those are going to be the top three picks next year. And I just don't see Queen that high. Like, I went to go watch him play. I mean, everybody's saying baby Jokic. I just don't see it. Like, I think he can put up double-doubles, but his laziness scares me. And I think, you know, yes, he is tall, but he's not as big as Jokic. Now, a lot of that he'll develop in the league, you know, just lifting weights and stuff like that. But it's like, I personally didn't see it. And I just think keeping that pick unprotected, you might be hitting yourself over the head next year, because Atlanta's probably, they have two shots to go get a top lottery pick. They could have a 2 and 4 pick, or even 1 or 2, I mean, depending on how it rolls out. But I just don't think it was worth giving that unprotected 2026.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. And I, like we were talking about on the pod last time, like, what do you do with Zion? Like, do you trade him? Do you keep him around? Who do you run the offense through? Because I'm telling you right now, Jeremiah Fears came from Oklahoma. He's still going to want the ball in his hands and run an offense. Does that, is how many shots are available?
Don't forget about Jordan Poole.
Him too.
That boy's a gunslinger. He's getting his shots up, guaranteed. You talk about Fears coming from Oklahoma. Boy, Jordan Poole might be taking 30 shots, boy.
Yeah. And Derek Queen's going to want shots too. So it's like,
yeah, they need to go ahead and trade Zion, bro. Try to get something for him. Don't let him walk for nothing. Try to get something for him. I mean, they already traded CJ. Shoot, blow up the whole core. DeJounte about to be gone. Blow it up, man.
Do you keep Trey Murphy and Herb Jones?
I think so. I mean, they're two versatile defenders, 3-and-D type of guys. You definitely got to keep them around. They're going to be valuable. Because you got to be able to get some type of stops.
Yeah, need some stability. We could be looking at three different crash sets on the team between Fears, Poole, and Zion. And
do you think Fears is going to be starting? Or do you think they go with, you know, Herb Jones, Trey, Poole, in that backcourt?
I think the latter. I think I think Willie Green wants to at least try to win games. I feel like later in the season, Fears is going to start, because Fears is going to be electric starting Monday with the summer league. Like, because he is just an electric player, makes big time shots. His size concerns me. Pause. But even the defensibility, like you said, like, where does that defense anchor come from? And I think you're going to have to put Trey Murphy and Herb Jones on the bench in order to have some kind of defense. So, yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. Like, this could either go really good for Joe Dumars or it could go really bad. It's going to be bad if the Pelicans suck and the Hawks have your pick.
Yeah.
They go get AJ. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Were there any surprise picks for you in the first round?
That's a good question. I feel like, obviously, I didn't think Khan was going to have. The surprise for me was BJ, because I thought he was going to Charlotte, honestly. But I think later on in the draft, I did not – kind of like we were talking about yesterday through text, I did not know – Igor was going that high. Everybody had him late first round, but Brooklyn went up to go get him at 8, which I understand. Mm-hmm. I think they saw they had Claxton and Cam Johnson, so I think they kind of cut out the Mulock pick and with Coward. But I think in a lot of mocks they had Noah Asingwe going to Brooklyn, so that was kind of surprising. Igor going that high, but yeah. What about you?
I was surprised that Walter Clayton Jr. went that high. An older player. And we know how the NBA feels about older players. But he's a big shot maker. I like his ability to score. And as we saw, like I said, hit big shots. Can play with the ball, can play off the ball. So we gonna see how that pans out. And then my boy Janai Broome, man. Shout out to Broome, man. He got drafted. I know it was the second round, but hey man, shout out to Janai Broome, man.
Yeah. I'll be giving shout outs, bro. Shout out to Will Richard. He got drafted from Florida. That's AJ's little brother. He went to the Golden State. Warriors. State. Yep. So shout out to him.
Which can be very solid for him. Like, he can knock down shots. So that's interesting. And I mean, we were talking about Brad going to the Detroit, but I'm curious to know how this Chaz Lanier pick pans out, because Chaz Lanier can knock down shots too. So I don't know if he's going to provide instant offense for them. Now, obviously, Brad Beal's a much better player, but in terms of their youth and his ability to score, I don't know if they're going to bring him through the G League. But if he comes in and produces, I don't think they need to make any other moves.
It's true.
Yeah. Saw your boy Tyrese got drafted.
Hey, I hope he's been working on his free throws, man. He really had me hot, bro. Missing free throws, bro. Like, you're a guard, bro. Hit your free throws, bro. So I hope he's ready for summer league. I hope he's been practicing his free throws. And he has a legit shot to make this team.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm curious to know what they do, because does that mean – now, obviously, I assume he's coming off the bench. Yeah. What, are they going to trade Garland? Like, what is that?
Hey, fellas. Get him out of here.
Right.
I'm going to let y'all boys continue the conversation. I got to see the barber, man. I got to get this cut. Podcast family, I appreciate y'all winning this shot. I'm gonna let these boys continue on and end it off for the morning. Once again, I thank y'all again for being patrons of the Winning Shot Podcast family, and I look forward to seeing y'all at the next appointed time. God bless with a new haircut at that. Amen.
Yeah, brother, go get right.
Amen.
All right, we'll be back. All right, brothers.
Yeah, and you know, also too, that pick at 16, Yang Hassan, the center from China. It's like, mm-hmm. What is Portland doing? Because you have Cleveland and you have Ayton. Now you have another center at 16. You just got rid of Simons. Don't you need scoring? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know, bruh. Cleveland was on the all-rookie team. You got some versatile forwards. Like, I don't even think Buddy was supposed to go that high. I think Buddy was projected to go in, like, the second round. Everybody was saying shout out to Rich Paul for getting him drafted in the first round.
Yeah, I don't get it. I probably would have taken a shot on Jace Richardson right there. Like, at least Jace Richardson gets you a little bit of scoring, and he's a better guard than what you currently have. I just don't know.
Yeah. We're gonna see, man. So I'm excited for summer league to see how some of these guys look early on. Of course, you know, the summer league roster is not the normal roster, so take it with a grain of salt. Yeah. If people out there getting buckets, they still might not even make the team.
Yeah, for sure. It's gonna be interesting, bro. Let's talk about Naz Reid. Like, Naz Reid got that 5-year, 125. I know you're happy. You know that's your guy. How do you feel about the Wolves' direction with him signing them to that long-term extension?
I like it. I'm interested to see how it's going to pan out. As I told you, Randall has a player option for this upcoming season, so I'm sure he's going to tap in and get that. I think it's like 30 or 31 million, something like that. But it's like, are you keeping Gobert? Is Naz Reid going to be, the starting center? So we're going to see. I think Conley is really the only legit free agent that's coming up, but he can go home. He was sounding like he was ready to hang it up anyways. So yeah, go ahead and clear out, Mr. Mike Conley. Pack your bags, brother. Have a good summer vacation, man. You had a great career, my boy. But let the youngest cook. Hopefully he can get in the starting lineup, man. Hopefully Naz Reid can get in that starting lineup, man, because he's talented. And clearly, they thought so, paying him that money. And like we talked about in the group, he got to show up now. He can't be getting locked up by Alex Caruso in the playoffs, man. You 6'9", 6'10", bro. You got to be a man down there, bro.
Nah, I agree with you, bro. I think that's the biggest thing, because now you're going to have some cap casualties. I think Conley's one of those players. like we talked about yesterday, Nikhil Alexander Walker is going to probably have to walk. I just don't know. Now, obviously, with the second apron in this cap situation, if you can run that same team back, and it looks like they are, I just feel like there's limitations with that, because now do you bring, if Conley is gone, do you bring Rob Dillingham? Do you start him, or do you keep running Ann at the one?
Me personally, I mean, if I were running the team, I would put Ann at the one, but I understand what that means, because the energy that he's going to have to exert on both ends of the floor. But me personally, I got to see some more from Rob before I throw him into that starting lineup. Now, if they're able to bring in or bring back Nikhil, that could possibly be a, you know, a starting guard in the league. But are they going to be able to do that? I don't know. Unless they can get like a veteran point guard on a vet min or something. I don't know what the market is out there. I know Schroeder. I don't know what type of money he's going to be looking for. But Giddey's probably out there at point guard, but that's probably going to be a steep price. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I feel like Reed was definitely worth it. I just didn't know if it was going to come from the Timberwolves. I thought there were going to be some moves made, and I just can't unsee what happened in the playoffs. Like, it just – I don't know, man. It was one of those things where, like, the Thunder – had a better roster, but I thought Naz Reid was going to give them a little bit more, because now you got to pay McDaniels, you're paying Reed, you're paying Ant, you're still on the contract for Julius Randle, and obviously that big contract Rudy is like, man, I'm paying top of the line roster for what? Like, to get bounced out in the Western Conference Finals again? And for some teams, that's a big deal, but it's like, for the Timberwolves, I thought they were going to make that next move and get to the finals, but I don't know.
Yeah, and like we mentioned before in a previous episode, like that window of Ant, you know, sticking around, it's starting to come into question, especially if they can't get over that hump. So
yeah,
after a while, but he might be, you know, whistling, talking a little different.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so let's play a little game. So how many teams, like truly, do you feel like going into next year, just with the rosters constructed as of now we're past the draft, how many teams do you feel like can win the NBA Finals next year? Like, truly.
I guess we can start in the West. OKC, you gotta have them in the conversation. As currently constructed.
Can Minnesota win the NBA Finals?
I think they can. I think they can. I think bringing back Nas was a big piece of that, and they still got Jaden. That starting five is pretty much intact outside of Conley, who is doing nothing but getting cardio anyways. So the starting five is back. The starting four is back. So the Timberwolves. Depending on Dallas, if Kyrie can come back healthy, I think they're definitely in the conversation now. I would have to put Houston in up in that conversation as well. I would have to. I know how you feel about Houston a little bit. We talked about it last episode, but I think they're definitely in that conversation now. So that's four teams in the West. In the East, I'm going to go – I think the Knicks definitely have an opportunity. I like what Orlando is building. I got to see some more what that bench is going to look like. More Orlando's definitely in the conversation. They're in the mix. Me personally, I don't trust Cleveland, but I mean, they were the number one team in the East. So I guess I got to throw them in there. So seven. So yeah, I think those seven are probably have the best opportunity to win. I think the Pacers are probably going to take a step back. Think Boston's going to take a step back. Philly is up in the air. We got to see what that's going to look like, if they're going to be healthy. So, yeah.
How far of a step back do you think the Celtics are going to take, though? Because I think with Simon Brown, White. I guess we're bringing back Luke Kornet. We got rid of Kristaps, but you still have like JD Davidson off the bench. We're probably going to need another big. I don't know who that's going to be. We bring back Xavier Tillman. I mean, in the East, though, I feel like we could still make the playoffs. Now, granted, I feel like Tatum's probably sitting out the year, but I don't think it's like people talking like it's going to be a lottery pick. I don't know. I think we can still compete.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a lottery pick. I think it'll be like play-in range through like seventh. I think y'all can be anywhere between seven and ten. I think y'all going to compete. I got to see how that backcourt is going to look with Simons and JB. But can JB carry that load offensively the whole season and stay healthy in doing so?
Yeah. But I think the benefit is, shockingly, I feel like now with this roster, we should be implementing that just 3-and-D mentality, shooting all the threes. Last year, because you had a lot of mismatches with Tatum being 6'10", he can, you know, whoever's guarding him, he could definitely, you know, post up, shoot over top. But I feel like now, if we still keep that same strategy, we can definitely either be in a lot of games or we can suck. Because I think everybody on that roster can knock down a three, personally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think y'all play style is going to change much. It's going to be, are y'all knocking down the threes? Pretty much how it was this year. I mean, if y'all knocking down threes, y'all going to be beating people or in the games. Or if you're missing, we know how that looks. It could look ugly.
Yeah. So I didn't hear you say any the Lakers with the seven. You don't think the Lakers can win the NBA Finals?
Well, a big part of that is Austin Reeves declining that extension that they offered him. So, like, Mr. Reeves, what's going on, brother? Like, what are you looking for? I think they still have to figure out how that's going to look with Luka and Bron playing together. They still have some question marks down low. I think they could do, you know, similar to what they did last year. But right now, it's like, I don't have faith in them boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the Knicks. It's just like, I don't know what I'm going to get with Luka. Like, Luka could kill this year, but I don't know if that roster's constructed to win NBA Finals. I think if they can get there. But, yeah, I'm going to go the Knicks. I'm going to go the Timberwolves, Thunder. Not really big on the Rockets. I don't know. Just because I have KD doesn't mean I'm going to get to the finals. So that's the thing. And even the Mavericks, like, we're going to be honest. Like, they have – we don't know what we're going to see with Cooper Flagg yet. I don't know if the Mavericks can win it. So, Knicks, Timberwolves, Thunder. Magic and the Cavs, but that's all I can say. Yeah, they probably can win it. Spurs are going to be interesting. I'm thinking they're waiting on Giannis, which is why they didn't make a move for KD. But I just don't think that roster right now is going to win an NBA Finals. I feel like there's a lot of holes. Like, and when they're probably going to go Vassell and Barnes starting. I mean, it's going to look electric with Wimby and Fox, but I just don't know if that team can go over the hump. Because I don't know, does Dylan Harper start? Because you're going to have to start Castle. He's rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think Fox starts. I think Castle starts. You probably go with, like you said, Barnes or Vassell at the three. Three or four, probably.
That's what I'm saying.
And then Wimby at the five. I think Harper will come off the bench. I think he'll come off the bench, run that second unit. But like we talked about last episode, bro, like that was my hesitation with them drafting him. It's like, bro, like you already got Fox, you already got Castle in the backcourt. So it's like, yo, why go take another guard?
Yeah, I hope. What I thought was going to happen was they're going to take Dylan, and I thought they were going to package that 14 pick. And probably Vassell, Sohan, and go get KD. I'm curious to know if they're still pursuing Giannis, but I think it made sense when we were talking to Pod last time because it was imagining either KD or Giannis on this roster. But now it's like, this is like okay. It. Yeah. No, hit the same.
Yeah.
So I
think from an asset standpoint, they're still in good shape. Like, they can still go out and pull off any trade that they want to. If they see that it's not working, you know, by, you know, November, December, they can still go out and they have the pieces to move people around.
So who do you see on this list? Well, just the NBA teams can have the biggest disappointment this next season. Like, who do you think is going to have the biggest fall off?
I don't know. I'm interested to see how Denver is. We've heard a lot of noise surrounding the team. So are they going to run it back? Or are people going to be, you know, out of there? Aaron Gordon, MPJ, Jamal. Like, what's going on in Denver? I think when you look at the East, maybe Indiana would be my guess. And probably, I don't know, Milwaukee still got some good role players, though. Like, despite them losing Dame, they're still going to have some good role players, especially if they can bring back Bobby Portis. I just think the East is just wide open, bro. Like, I feel like a lot of those teams are going to be close, like, in the standings. Like, when you look at the standings, when it's all said and done, like, it's going to be close. Not necessarily in a good way, but, like, they're going to be, like, beating up on each other. Like, a lot of teams around 500 probably would be my guess in the East.
Yeah, I think Miami is glaring to me. Like, I don't think they're going to be that good, honestly. I feel like that defensive culture, defensive mindset is probably going to win them like 20 games, but they're still going to be a very disappointing team. I think they missed the playoffs. In the West, surprisingly, I'm going to go with the Warriors. I just don't see it. Like, another year with Draymond, like, Draymond's still anchored defensively, but when I looked at a lot of their role players, it's going to be the Steph show again. And I don't know if you can ask Steph to do that and carry them like this. And I don't know what year two of Jimmy looks like. But like I said initially, when Jimmy first got traded, Jimmy's a ticking time bomb. Like, when everything is going well, Jimmy looks like all world. But if there's any inconsistencies this season, they start losing. I just don't know what the antics and stuff with him and Draymond on the same court. I just see it ending poorly, honestly.
Do you think there'll be any team that missed the playoffs that can get into the playoffs? I mean, I know we talked about San Antonio a little bit, but is there anybody else that you think can sneak into the playoffs?
Low-key, the Suns. I mean, they're going to need a point guard. I don't know if they still have Tyus Jones, but you kind of solved your problem going to get Malak and going to get Mark Williams, because I was saying they didn't have size, but I feel like they were still in that play-in fringe with KD and Bill. Get rid of Bill. I just feel like with Jalen Green, Devin Booker, Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen, Malak, Mark Williams, they can make a run to at least the playoffs. Like, now it won't be like 5 or 6, but they can slide into 8 or 9 and compete. In the East, I mean, obviously Philly, but I feel like that's kind of like a bad answer because they were all hurt this year. We're barring health. I think that they can be a solid team. Like, Maxi, Paul George, McCain, Edgecombe, and Embiid, that's a contending team. Like, if all of them come to play, it's just going to be a matter of health. But, yeah, they're my team in the East, honestly. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you with Philly. I think the rest of those teams that missed the playoffs are just not good, bro. Like, Washington, Charlotte, trash. Brooklyn, trash. Like, Toronto, maybe. But it's like, once again, with Toronto, it's like, what's the direction of the team? Like, you traded for Ingram midseason last year. You still got Scottie Barnes. You got a whole bunch of wings. You drafted Colin Murray-Boyles. So it's like, bro, you got similar style players on this team. So it's like, how are you going to plan to get over the hump and beat these teams? I mean, I guess you're banking on being healthy. But outside of that, like, I don't think Kyler Murray Bowles is the player that's going to come in and, you know, change the direction of the franchise with the where they took him at 9. Like, I just don't see that happening. I don't know what they're going to plan on doing in free agency, but we'll see what happens with Toronto. But definitely Philly, if healthy, they definitely should be, you know, top 7, top 8 type team in the Eastern Conference. And then in the West, I don't know. Like I talked about before, Portland. But after they traded Simons, it's just like, dog, like, you lost 20 points per game right there. So how are you going to replace that production from Simons? And like you said, they went out and got a center. So it's like, yo, and you got Klingon. So it's like, bro, like, I don't know, bro. It might be some dark days for Chauncey Billups coming up, man. I don't know if he's going to be there.
It might be the dark days are over. There might be some broadcasting days after this. Like, they're getting rid of him after next year. But yeah, it's time. Yeah. So what's the? Go ahead. No, I was gonna ask. Like, I haven't watched much of Portland, but what are your thoughts on Scoot? Like, is the Scoot project over, or do you think that he can cover whatever they're missing with Simons leaving?
I think he's a good role player. I think when you take somebody that high, you don't expect them to just be a role player. You expect them to be able to lead the team, but he hasn't shown me anything to be like, yo, we should build around him. I think he's a nice piece. But as far as replacing Simon's production, I don't see that coming from him.
Oklahoma City still the best team in the West?
I think so. I haven't seen anybody make a significant move to be like, I think that they can outshine the OKC. Like, Houston getting KD was big. It was good. But I don't think that's putting them over the hump to say that they're going to be number one in the Western Conference. But I do think they could still, you know, depending on matchups, get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Like, this free agency is going to be big to see, you know, where players end up, and see if teams are willing to spend some money to make some moves, unless we see some more trades happen. But as of right now, it's looking like a lot of these teams are going to be looking pretty similar unless they, you know, make some drastic moves.
Yeah. Like you said, with the East is just wide open because we don't know. Like, for the Celtics, Pacers, and Bucks, where do you think you are? Do you think you can still compete? Because I think there's a couple of pieces that I think a free agency can add and bolster a roster, but you might not have to worry about three teams because they might just want to tank. I think for us, I think we're still making moves to compete. But like with the Pacers, do you bring back Miles Turner? Like, do you, I guess, bring back the other guys if you know you're not going to have Tyrese? What does that look like? Same thing with the Bucks. It's like, with the pieces that I have, do I start to do a fire sale with some of these pieces? Do I go get free agents? Like, do I think I can still compete without Dame? And am I trying to please Giannis? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of question marks still out there, man. One team that I am, you know, interested to see that we haven't really talked too much about, but the Pistons. The Pistons are right there. A great season compared to what they were doing previously. Good young core there already. So like we talked about before, like, do they move on from Tobias? Do they try to go land, you know, a big fish in free agency, or do they just rock out with what they have and hope that they, you know, continue to improve?
Yeah. Do they have any draft picks this year? Like, I don't know. Oh, no, actually, Chaz Lanier is going to Toronto. They had a pick, but they traded it out. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And what's the next step for Cade? Like, Cade, he was All-Star, right? and averaging what, 25, 26 a game? What is that next step? And I guess for the other role players, who does Malik Beasley have the same season that he did last season? You know, because he was definitely an anchor, like, you know, in terms of knocking down shots. But it also is Malik Beasley. Like, we haven't expected that out of him in a while. Yeah, and then those rookies, like, you got Ron Holland. What is the status with Jaden Ivey? What does he look like? I don't know. But, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Any more news about the Knicks and the head coaching situation? Have you heard anything?
I think they said they was looking at interviewing James Borrego. But we're going to see, man. I feel like the Knicks are in an interesting spot because if I were running the team, I'm not going out here and, you know, signing X, Y, and Z player, and we don't even have a coach, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, you're low-key in a tough position to bring anybody in and, you know, sell the team really outside of, you know, what you did last year. But, like, who's going to be the coach? Like, that's a big part of, you know, attracting free agents and attracting players to want to come there.
Yeah. What do y'all need in free agency? Do y'all need just try to build out the bench?
I think so. Like I said before, I think the starting five is pretty much intact. But we got to get some consistent production off the bench. Like, Miles was cool, but, like, he was inconsistent. So we need some type of consistency. And I personally think, you know, some more size down low, specifically, you know, defensively and rebounding, and having that extra security blanket, because we know Cat is not no, you know, lockdown defender or nothing. And if he's getting in foul trouble, yo, we can't be super small out here, as we saw versus the Pacers, and out here getting bullied.
Yeah. I'm gonna look up free agents because I don't know who that piece would be. Free agents. Free agent tracker. He's got signed. Man, it's not. A Nicholas Batum.
Man, go home. That man's like 38, bro.
I'm looking at the free agents.
Man, if they go sign Nicholas Batum, bro, them boys bogus.
Oh, I'm looking at the free agents. I mean, you don't have that many options. Pat Connaughton. I didn't know Malik was a free agent, but he's probably going to re-sign with Detroit. Charles Bassey. Nikhil, maybe?
Too much money.
Well, brother, Spencer Dinwiddie, you can't. Beggars cannot be choosers at this point.
Hey, man, we need some size, man. We don't need no more guards, man. We need
Bruce
some
Brown. Size. Oh well, okay. Tony Bradley.
Who else on there?
Marvin Bagley.
Okay, Bagley could be solid off the bench. He's still, you know, 6'10", 6'11". He can get up about, you know, 10, 11 points per game. That's solid. 6'7" rebounds. That's solid.
Clint
Capella?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically Mitchell Robinson, bro. We good.
Yeah, but I mean, do you need just more to bolster the depth? Or
yeah, but Clint is not going to be that. I don't see him coming off the bench.
That's fair. I don't see a lot of good options. I mean, bring back Precious.
No.
Dear God. No. No.
We're good. Oh,
dear God.
I mean, I don't know what the Knicks situation is going to be, but I mean, do you consider trading, you know, Josh Hart or somebody?
Nah, they're not going to get rid of another Villanova player. They're trying to please Jalen. I'm serious, bro. They're trying to please Jay. Josh is low-key the glue guy on that team. New York loves him.
Yeah, the city do love him.
I feel like the trade that needs to happen, I mean, like you said, y'all play better without Jalen, but they would never entertain that.
Yeah.
That's the only asset, man. That
Yeah. Or cat. Like I said, he's got cat.
Yeah. But I say that goes against your logic because they just got him. So you can't trade him. It's like,
yeah.
But I don't know who wants cat though. Like, I feel like there might be some sorry teams that would take a bite on it, but I feel like Jalen is obviously the biggest asset that y'all can get a boatload for.
Hey, the Hawks traded for KP. Somebody will take Cat.
Yeah, or OG.
I'm a big OG fan, bro. I like OG on the team, bro. If you're going to trade anybody, trade Cat. Trade Brunson. We're going to put him first. Trade Brunson. Cat. Josh Hart or Mikal, you know? OG, I think OG. OG tough, bro. People be sleeping on OG, bro.
Nah, OG solid. I'm just saying in terms of tradable assets y'all have. Like, you're not getting a boatload of value players.
He definitely a tradable asset. I just don't want to see them trade him.
That's real. I guess the last thing I want to talk about is, like, how did you feel about like the NBA draft coverage, because they were getting on Stephen A's head because he just didn't seem well versed in a lot of the picks that were coming in. And, like, you know, obviously, I don't know if you've seen the whole beef between Kendrick Perkins and Bill Simmons, but, you know, Bill Simmons was like, he said something about Colin Murray-Boyles going to Toronto and saying that Toronto is going to be a contender, and like Bill Simmons was talking about he wanted to turn the TV off after he said that. I don't think Kendrick made a bad take. Like, it was solid. Like, I can see where he was going with it, because I feel like Toronto is trying to switch everything 1 through 5, because they kind of have the same style of player, 1 through 5, literally. Mm-hmm. But there were moments when I was watching the draft, I was just like, man, I just want to see a pick. I don't want to hear the commentary, because outside of Jay Billis, y'all really don't know these players. I'm curious to know, like, what you think. You know, obviously with the streaming, playback, and all these things going where, you know, more people have access to different kinds of people. Like, it seems like ESPN has been trying to kind of salvage a crew to do the finals and do draft coverage, because, you know, a lot of people are curious to know what the Charles Kenny check is going to look like with ESPN going in next year. But what did you think about the coverage once you were watching the draft, if you watched the ESPN?
I don't know. I just feel like I guess big picture standpoint, it's like, get the college guys to do the draft content. Like you said, like Jay Billis, like whoever was broadcasting and commentating, you know, the college game, or even like the college game day crew, like bring Jay Will there.
Yeah.
Bring those guys there. I mean, those are the ones who were truly like studying the college game. Like Stephen A and Perk are more focused on NBA, which, I mean, it's fine, but like when it comes to the draft content and draft coverage, like you need the college guys there and, you know, the international guys that they got doing scouting stuff. But like, it's okay. Like Perk and Stephen A don't have to be on there. It's cool.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, sometimes you can like overexert your people. Like the draft, the NBA draft, it doesn't start on the 25th. Man, it starts 6 months, 7 months back. Like, we've been talking about prospects for months now. And I think they're trying to make the stars, like your Stephen A's and Kendrick's, because they provide a lot of energy and stuff like that. You know, Stephen A's going to be yelling. But if you just do it for that night, you're already behind, because there's so many, like, people that in these later rounds, like, you can get probably the top 5 and speak on them. But when those later rounds, like, you don't even know if they're a good pick. You can't even watch them play, you know?
Right.
And yeah. I just feel like for the sake of, like, where I see TV going, like, the people that are actually doing the work in the background, like, the hard work, you know, and understand the sport, like, I care more about that. Like, numbers on the board, they did a coverage with Brian Windhorst, and I was watching that a lot more than I was watching, you know, Malika Andrews and the rest of them, because it was like, I know Kenny watches the sport. Like, he watches these players, and he can provide the analysis that I might not be able to see. And I think that's kind of distasteful for, like, you know, some of these big networks just trying to bring on the stars in order to cover these things when they're not actually doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that's real. That's real. I mean, and you can hear it in some of the analysis. Like, even when you look at other sports, for example, like when ESPN and First Hit get to talking about, like, the WNBA and Stephen A talking about it, it's just like, bro, like, not listening to what he has to say about the WNBA, bro. Like, I'm good on it, bro. Like Shanae, Andrea, like I'll listen to them, bro. I'll listen to Monica McNutt, but like Stephen A, nah, I'm good on it, bro. Like you're not saying nothing, bro, because you're not really tapped in for real.
Yeah. And that's kind of the problem I have with Stephen A, is like be a master at one thing instead of being okay at a lot of things. You know, like they had him on UFC boxing, they had him, you know, with the NFL draft coverage. I'm like, man, there's no way you're looking at doing research for all these things at once. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And like, I think even for us, it's like, that's why, yeah, I step away when y'all talking about WNBA, because I'm not bringing a lot of good analysis. I don't watch the games as much as you and John, but right. I don't think ESPN is ready to have that honest conversation and say, hey, we just need certain people for certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, bro, I don't think people will be watching like ESPN, like going to ESPN and watch the draft in the next like 2 to 3 years. Like you even see it with like the BET Awards. Like a lot of people only watch BET Awards because they saw it through Kai's stream, and like people were able to see, oh yeah, the BET Awards happening, you know, tonight. But I think the same thing is going to be with these draft coverage. Like people want to hear the people that actually know the sport, and I feel right. like there's going to be more watching the draft through this stream or this playback rather than watching it live through ESPN. So
yeah, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Lock in.
All right. We had a minute or an hour 41. So I guess we can quick cap in it there. Everybody who watched, man, thank you. Once again, man, we started off this episode thanking everybody who has subscribed. We got 121 subscribers, and we're thankful for all 121. We don't want to stop there, man. If you know somebody who hasn't subscribed yet, send it to them. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share yourself. Put in the comments what you think about what we talked about. We talked about the NFL draft. We talked about the NBA draft. We talked about WNBA content. We talked about college football coming up, college basketball. So we have a plethora of sports. So if you're not into one sport, you can go look at all of our content and find a sport that you're into and see exclusive coverage on that. Tell us what you think, and we'll be sure to respond back with our thoughts. Just have conversation, because we want this to be a family. We want y'all to come in and share your thoughts, man. And yeah, that's really it. We appreciate all the coverage we're getting, and be sure to continue to share and spread the message, because we want to spread the gospel even through sports and through our authentic taste. So until next time, we will see you. Be sure to subscribe to our Substack, where you can read some of our content, and we'll have more video content coming your way soon. Peace.
Peace.